Turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And you're really in trouble tonight because I've got two Bibles. And I've still got the Bible the church gave me for my birthday. And I've been using that and I'm enjoying that. But it's still easier for me to find things in my old Bible. And so I'm going to read out of Romans chapter number 12 tonight. And just verse number 1. Going to read that one verse. And then we're going to go back into the book of Genesis. And going to see some things tonight. But I already announced this morning that what I was going to preach on. And so we'll just read verse number 1 there. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. But for our visitors tonight, and we have several, I preached last Sunday morning out of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, and I preached this morning out of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And some of the things we've already seen, we've seen the beseeching in verse number 1. That's a anxious begging there. And so Paul, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. We've seen the brethren. This is for God's people, God's children. We've seen the basis for this offering was the mercies of God. That's all that I preached last Sunday. And then today I preached on that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's that mean, to present your bodies a living sacrifice? And this morning I gave an example out of Deuteronomy chapter number 15 about the servant with his ear bored through with an awl. And tonight we're going to look at that again. It said there in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I want to preach on that little section right there. We're going to look at the part that says your bodies. Now, the Bible has a great deal to say about your bodies and the maintenance of our bodies and just what the Word of God says about that. So that's what we're going to look at tonight by the help of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, though, before we go any further. Father, I want to thank you so much for letting us be here tonight and all the many blessings that you've given to us. Lord, thank you for each and every one that has come this way this evening. Lord, I pray you'd take the message and use it to speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to see in the Word of God what you're asking of us here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Help us to have the grace of God and the desire of God, Lord, that we would come and truly present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Lord, I pray for your help. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be that which you'd have us to be. I pray you'd give me liberty tonight, especially as it's a little bit different maybe than we're used to, but God, I pray that we could see thy word and, Lord, what you're really asking of us here and what our part, our responsibility is before thee, and that's to be a good steward over what you've given unto us. And so, Lord, we pray for your help right now, and I ask for it in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's read that one more time. Just to get us started tonight, the Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I already announced it this morning, but this will be just a little bit different. But this has been on my mind for a couple of weeks now, what the Bible says right there. You could just underline the two words there, your bodies. Now, the Bible has a great deal to say about our bodies, and I want us tonight to look at what the Bible says about our bodies. I know that normally we would read that, we would think just along the line spiritually there, that you know we're going to put her all on the altar of sacrifice laid and consecrate our lives and dedicate our lives. But specifically, technically, the Bible asks us and specifies here your bodies. Your bodies there is what the Bible says. And so the Bible does say things and a great deal about our health. And I want to look at that tonight. You know, for example, the Bible says over in 3 John, verse number 1, or chapter number 1, verse 2, it says over there, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And from tonight on, I'm thinking that you will read the Bible and you'll notice things maybe you never noticed before. But the Bible, any subject you look at, any way you look at it, if you study it out, and if you just go to looking what the Bible says about our physical health, you're going to find that it says a lot more than you probably ever realized. He said there, John said that his desire was that they would prosper and be in health. Now, it's always good to come to the Bible, and especially what we're looking here in chapter 12 and verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's always good to come and live that out in our lives, but it would be far better for us to have a healthy body to present to the Lord than to have a sickly body. You know, it's just, to be honest tonight, it is hard to serve God if you're sick all the time. Somebody said one time that it's hard to serve the Lord with a toothache. And you probably know what I'm talking about tonight. You know, if you feel good physically, you feel a whole lot more like doing something, anything. You feel like going to church. You feel like talking to people, and your attitude's good and everything like that. But if you all of a sudden come down with something and you're sick, well, it's harder to do that. It's harder to go. It's harder to be faithful to church. It's harder to serve the Lord with our lives. And I want to say in the beginning tonight that I realize that some sickness in our lives, sometimes we get sick and we can't help it. You know, that's going to happen. You can't help many things that many times when sickness come into our lives. You know, you catch a cold. You have an accident. I'm not even dealing with that tonight, but sometimes sickness comes into our lives. Sometimes we inherit things. You know, whether I like it or not, I'm going to look like my daddy. I'm going to be like him. I'm going to act like him certain things. I'm not saying that's a bad thing tonight, but we inherit things. We were in town the other day, or I forget exactly where we were. Who was we visiting with? And Noah was with me, and I think it might have been Aunt Merle. I can't remember. But anyway, we were visiting somebody, and she looked at Noah and she said, "I just seen wind in you." You know, that's the way it is. We inherit certain things from our family. Sometimes we inherit sickness. We inherit a certain gene. I don't know exactly how you'd explain it tonight, but we inherit some things from our families that causes us to be more inclined to be sick. Sometimes our environment might make us sick. You know, it's been proven in this country that asbestos or lead paint or something like that, it might cause a person to be sick. Where you work, what you breathe, and there's things like that going on in our nation all the time. So some things are out of our hands as uncontrollable factors in our lives. You know, sometimes sickness is spiritually linked. What I mean by that, the Apostle Paul, for example, he said over there that he had a thorn in the flesh. He called that the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. And if you read about the sickness of the Apostle Paul, he prayed and asked God to remove it 3 times. But God told him, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So if you study about the sickness of the Apostle Paul or the thorn in the flesh of the Apostle Paul, Paul said that the devil sent that to him. But he prayed to God and asked him to remove it. And God said, no, I'm not going to remove it. So his sickness was spiritual. It had a spiritual side to it. And God saw fit to leave him with a thorn in the flesh for his spiritual betterment. So sometimes we get sick and there's a spiritual reason. But many times we get sick and there's no other reason that we've done that to ourselves. Now, truth be known, Americans are sickly people. If you study into this, and you're going to come across the what they call the American diet, they call it the SAD diet, the standard American diet. See, we eat different than people in other countries do. We ought to be some of the healthiest people in the world, but truth be known, Americans are some of the sickliest people in the world. We have a lot of sickness in our society. I believe tonight that a lot of it could be prevented. You know as well as I know tonight that as a church, every time we meet together, we learn about somebody else that has some kind of terrible sickness in their lives. You know how it is. And you know what? I could preach this any week during the year and it wouldn't matter because that's just the way it is. People are sick all the time. I'm not talking about just having a cold. I'm talking about cancer and leukemia and problems. They go to the doctor. They don't know what's wrong. They're going to run tests on them. It's just a common thing all the time. Is it God's will for us to be this sickly all the time? People are continually coming down with new sicknesses. Seemingly we're not getting better. You can go to the doctor. A lot of times people come, they'll go to the doctor and the doctor don't even know what's wrong. And so just in our society, we're getting sicker all the time. Cancer, tests, and it's not just older people that get sick. Children now in America have what used to be diseases that just adults get. But now children have diabetes. Children have other sicknesses that they get. And so there's a lot of things in our society that point out the fact that we're not getting healthier, we're getting sicker. Do you know what ought to really cause our eyes to be open tonight and look at this thing? Do you know that even the government, now usually, normally the government couldn't solve a one-piece puzzle. But the government even realizes that children are sick. And so they institute things, and this is not something that's new. I remember when I was in elementary school, they had something called the President's Physical Fitness Test. And I think Ronald Reagan maybe instituted this, but you know, the government was trying to get young people to be more physically active, and it's the same thing today. You know, Michelle Obama, she has taken it upon herself to try to get children to eat healthier and, you know, things along those lines. So this is something in our country that others have recognized, even all the way up to the government. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a personal testimony tonight. In the fall of 1997, I got pneumonia. I forget now, I guess I was 27 years old at that time. But I got pneumonia in the fall of 1997. What happened to me was I was preaching in revival. I'll never forget it. But I was in revival down at Antioch. And it was that time of the year when it's hot during the day and it cool off in the evening. And I was preaching down at Antioch, and that evening service, you know, we went during the daytime. It was like summertime. And I went down there and I preached, and I got real hot preaching, sweated, you know, and I just got real hot preaching. And by the time we went out that evening, it had cooled off quite a bit. And that week, I started coughing. And I coughed all fall long. until I ended up in the hospital with pneumonia in November. And spent several days in the hospital. I mean, it knocked me for a loop. If you've never had pneumonia, if you ever get pneumonia, you'll know why it's one of the main killers of old people. A lot of older people, when they get pneumonia, they die from pneumonia. And pneumonia is a hard thing. And so I got pneumonia that fall. I got out of the hospital. And that spring, I just never could really get all the way better, seemed like. But that spring early, I think it was somewhere around the time of February, I got pneumonia again and ended up in the hospital again. And that second time I got pneumonia and I was in the hospital and they had me over in the intermediate area ICU. That's not in ICU, but that's the next step down. But as I laid over there in the hospital, I did some serious soul searching. I laid over there and I thought, you know, what if something is wrong with me and something more than this? Because that time, that's what they did. They come in and they started talking to me. They said, you're too young to be this sick, this close together. You should be able to kick this. And they started talking about sending me to Winston-Salem to a specialist. They tested me for Lou Gehrig's disease, for AIDS, for other things. They said, there's something going on and we need to find out what that is. You're too young to be this sick. And so they sent me to Winston-Salem, but I'll never forget when I got out of the hospital the second time, I looked at the doctor and I said, is there not something I can do to build up my immune system? Is there not something I can do to kick this and get more healthy in my life? Some vitamins I could take or anything, you know. Doctor, help me out here. What can I do to get better? And he looked at me, I'll never forget. He said, no, not really. And I thought, I knew enough then. I thought to myself, when he said those words, I thought, you idiot. I really did. See, I'd had pneumonia. I wasn't in the best of moods anyway. And I thought, surely a doctor's not going to stand there and tell me there ain't anything I can do to boost my immune system and help me get better. And so at that point, I started thinking to myself, maybe the doctors don't have all the answers to everything. And so I started, and shortly after that, I went to Winston-Salem to see a specialist. And I'll never forget that. A little Asian doctor came in and talked to me a little while. And I can't remember what they did exactly on that day, but it was sort of an interview. And he told me how he wanted me to come back. And they was going to do sort of an operation on me and run something down in my lungs and start testing for this and testing for that. And I'll tell you, that's not what I wanted to hear. And when we left the hospital down there, Baptist Hospital, we got out and we were getting back out on the road to come home. And I remember telling Kim, I looked at her and I was upset. I was upset. I remember telling Kim, I said, I quit. Said, I ain't doing all this. Now, let me tell you tonight, I'm not giving medical advice to nobody. But I'm telling my personal testimony. I told her, I said, I quit. I didn't go back for the second interview or the test or anything like that. I have not been to the doctor since then. Not been to the doctor one time. I've rarely had a cold. Rarely that I've gotten sick, and I'm giving praise and honor to the Lord. But what I did that made the difference in my life, I began to look in the Word of God and see what the Bible had to say about our health. The Bible says things about our health. And I want to share that with you tonight and hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Now, God's Word gives principles for having good health. Better health than probably most have. And most of it, you'll be glad to know, is common sense. You know, you'll find the phrase in our founding forefathers, they talked a lot about something they called natural law. You know what natural law is? Natural law is a lot of it's common sense. And you find it in the Word of God. And so I'm going to go back into Genesis. Look in Genesis chapter number 1. But at that time when I was so sick, I began to think to myself, is it God's will for us to be sick all the time? And I'd gotten in a habit of being sick all the time. And I tell you how I lived my life. I'd run all the time. And you know what I'd have for lunch most days? Mountain Dew and Snicker bars. I love Mountain Dew and Snicker bars. Snickers bars. And most of the time, that's what I was eating for lunch and eating junk food all the time. And I remember laughing at people that ate salad. You know, I said, I don't want salad. That's rabbit food. Who would go to Wendy's and get a salad? I want one of them double or triple, you know, hamburgers and a Frosty on the side and all, and that's how I was living my life, eating junk food, going all the time. Never would. When I did get sick, I didn't slow down to get better. And like I say, I'm not giving medical advice, but as a pastor, I want us to look in the Word of God, and I want you to look with me tonight. And I learned some things, some biblical insights, and I began to search. I had a friend that sent me some information and some vitamin type things that I started taking at that time. And I became familiar. I began to look. There was a ministry at that time called Hallelujah Acres. And I began to read everything I could off of their website and ordered materials. And I began to read. And they were the only ministry I knew at that time that was promoting what the Bible had to say about health. So a lot of what I'm sharing with you tonight, I got from that time period in my life. And also, how many of you remember Brother Lester Roloff? You heard of Brother Lester Roloff. I know you have. He's about the only preacher I've ever heard that would preach what the Bible said about being healthy. And they said that everywhere Brother Roloff went, and he had an airplane, And he took his own food with him, and he took a juicing machine with him, and that had to be a pain at that time. But he believed in juicing, and he juiced carrots and things, and he would preach along these lines. So I'd start everything I could hear about from Lester Roloff and things that he had written and said about health, and actually, this Hallelujah Acres, this man, he's a preacher as well, he was influenced by Lester Roloff. So if you trace back what I'm sharing with you tonight, be looking at some things Brother Roloff had said and taught in the past. But here's a list. I'm going to give you 7 things tonight that, according to the Bible, the principles in the Bible, your body needs. If you're going to be healthy, and if I'm going to be healthy. Number 1 tonight, and as I say, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. This is just common sense, but we find it in the Word of God. Here's what your body needs to be healthy. You need nutritious food. You ought to take notes tonight and write these things down. You need nutritious food if you're going to be healthy. Now, there's a difference between this food and nutritious food. Do you know everything you put in your body is not nutritious? Nutritious means nutrients. You know, you get vitamins and minerals, and you ought to get those things from your food. But now I'm telling you, food companies and restaurants do not base their business model on how healthy their food is. They base their business model on how much you'll buy. What I'm saying tonight, they don't care if it's good for you or not. Do you know how much nutritional value's in a Krispy Kreme donut? Absolutely zero, nothing. There's nothing in a Krispy Kreme donut that is actually good and nutritious for you. But I'll tell you tonight, they're good. You know, I'm not telling you I don't like it. But I am telling you it's not good for you. And there's a difference between just eating something and it being nutritious. Now, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 29, the Bible over there tells us this is Adam and Eve in the garden. God had made the earth. He had blessed it. Everything he had made, he said it was good. And he said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. You know, God gave Adam and Eve what they needed, and had they not sinned, they'd have ate and lived forever. God made the body to repair itself. And God gave Adam and Eve, if you really study that out, what God gave Adam and Eve in the very beginning, they were actually vegetarians. They ate fruits and vegetables. And they did that. They were all, up until the time of the flood, they ate fruits and vegetables. And God in His Word said that He had given them that. He said to you, it shall be for meat. And so God put Adam and Eve in a garden. Isn't that interesting? And in that Garden of Eden, they would find everything that they needed to eat and to be healthy. And so God put them in a garden, fruits and vegetables. They had fresh food, not processed food, sprayed, preserved, frozen. You know, we let you think about this tonight. Can it be good for you to go after Christmas and get good sales on some food? And you can serve it next Christmas. A lot of the food we have, that's the way it is. It is so... Hey, can it be good for us to buy a salad that was assembled and put together in Mexico? Now I'm talking about a salad now, and it travels up through all that process and everything, and you can get it weeks and weeks and weeks later. You know, common sense speaking, salad doesn't last that long. They something on our food, done to our food. Most of the time what we eat is not fresh food. Fresh food, God intended for us to have fresh food. Now, a lot of our ailments, a lot of our sicknesses comes from the fact that we don't have very much fresh food. We don't eat very much fresh food. Brother Lester Roloff said this. He said, when you leave the produce aisle of the grocery store, you have entered into the death part of the grocery store. And he preached a whole lot that you need to have, if you have a living body and living cells, that you needed to have living food, fresh food. That fresh food has nutrients and vitamins and minerals and things that we need. So you need nutritious food. Now, you go into the other part of the grocery store and you find something over there and it's full of preservatives and sugar and all of these things, and it has a sell by date that, I mean, it's out there 3 or 4 years from now. He said, and I believe it, there's not a lot of nutrition in that. So I believe that one of the reasons why we're so sick in America, we don't have very much nutritious food that we eat. A lot of the meat that we eat, and I'm not going to, a lot of this is just introductory tonight. I don't even know that I'll revisit it again, but I hope we'll take it and apply it and think about it at least. A lot of the meat that we consume, if you really knew where that come from, and what it went through to get to your plate, it'd turn you off. The cattle factories and processing plants and chickens and all of these things pumped full of hormones and steroids and antibiotics and all of these things. These things do get to us and we consume them. But I'll tell you, we need fresh food. The average meal in America, I read somewhere, travels 1,500 miles just to get to your table. comes from Mexico and the Philippines and even places here in America. It travels and it's been pumped and primed and full of all kinds of additives that are not good for us. Just read the back of the label on a lot of things. Just to give you an example tonight, you go over here to the grocery store and you can get some of the prettiest apples you ever seen. And you know, you take an apple home, you think an apple's good for you. Man, this is a nutritious thing. And I hope you know you'll wash it off before you eat it. But you know what? What is on an apple cannot be washed off. Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. I tell my children all the time, I said, peel that thing. At the very least, next time you get an apple at the grocery store, take a knife and take the edge of it and just start scraping on it all around. And what you'll find, they're coated with wax or something. You scrape, by the time you've scraped all the way around that apple, it's not a shiny red apple anymore. It's sort of dull. And you'll scrape enough stuff off there and you'll think to yourself, I can't believe I put that in my body. You will get almost a handful of fine wax. I don't even know what it is, but our food is modified to make it look appealing and everything, and that's put it on there to preserve it till you get it home. But I'm just saying, everything you put in, and we've got a long way. Most people in America, I know a lot of us do, grow a garden. That's good. Grow a garden, eat all the fresh foods you can. We need nutritious food. I know a lot of people, and I'm not saying that I eat right all the time. I realize tonight it's not convenient. Say, preacher, I'm busy. It's not convenient. I can't always get fresh food and vegetables. And I realize that tonight. It's a problem we have in America. But I'll tell you something else. It's not convenient to be sick. It's not convenient to have diabetes and heart disease and all the other things. It's not convenient to have extra weight we don't need to have and all these things. That's not convenient either. Somebody says, you know, preacher, I can't afford to eat right. I know I need to eat healthier and all these things, but I can't afford to eat healthy. You know what? You can't afford to be sick either. If you ever lose your health, boy, you really can't afford that. So there's different ways to looking at it tonight. And I would just say before I move on, just think, you know, in this new year starting out, you know, if I want to do something for God, I need to be healthy. And I need to make good choices when I eat. And boy, this is a good time to look at this right after Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, all these things. A lot of people get sicker this time of year than any other time of the year. You know why? Because we've had a whole lot more sweets and we eat a whole lot more food than we do other times of the year, and it makes us sick. Makes us sick. You need nutritious food. I've got to move on. You need something else. You need fresh water. You need water. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 10, it's no accident that the Bible says that there in the Garden of Eden, the Bible said, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And you know, in Adam's day, they didn't have a problem with fresh water. And what did they drink? They drank water. They drank juice, I'm sure, orange juice, you know, whatever there, but more than anything, you know as well as I do, they drank water. God has abundantly supplied us water, and we're blessed in this nation. You know, I remember when they started selling water in bottles. I remember, I remember being in the store and seeing the, you know, you buy your Cokes and your things like that. And I remember the first time I ever really noticed or seen a shelf full of bottled water. And I remember thinking to myself and saying at that time, who would buy water? You can go right over there in the water fountain and get all the water that you want for free, but now we buy water. But don't think that water that you buy is necessarily good for you. I've read all kinds of things about what happens in a bottle after it sits there for a while and what infuses into that water and how that bottled water can actually affect your mind and your thinking. And if you don't believe that, I used to drink bottled water. I got to where I throwed off on drinking bottled water, and then I quit drinking soft drinks and I'd buy water, but found out that's not necessarily good. God's given us what's good for us. And you need water. You know, if you read and study about health, they say you need so many glasses of water per day. I think for me and my body weight and size and everything, I'm supposed to drink 8 to 10 glasses of water a day, and I probably do drink that much water. Water is good for you. You need water. Water flushes poison out of your body. Your body is made up of something like 70-80% water. You need water to function. But I'll tell you what's bad for you. Most of us don't drink water. We drink Cokes and things of that. Here's one thing that I learned early on that made me think that maybe the doctors don't have all the answers. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to learn that your average cola product or soda product has about 13 teaspoons of sugar in it. Sugar kills your immune system. If you drink 3 colas a day, that's enough to totally wipe out your immune system for one day, because it overloads your system with sugar and your system can't handle that, and it shuts down to fight that what you're doing to it. You put all that in. So if it kills your immune system, you're going to get colds more. You're going to get sick more because you need your immune system. But here's what made me realize maybe the doctors don't know everything. How many of you ever noticed you go over to the hospital to visit somebody? You know what they're peddling all the time? Can I bring you a Coke? And I won't say, don't you know that's bad for you? Somebody laying in the hospital don't need to be drinking Coke. What are they donated or something for advertising? I don't know. But I'm telling you, Coke, Pepsi, not trying to throw off any brand. I have friends that work for Coke, you know. But I'm telling you, that stuff's poison in your body. Read on it. But you go to Walmart, you go to the grocery store, people's filling their grocery carts with carbonated soda and colas and all those things. It's bad for your children. It's bad for you. I had a preacher friend one time. He came to me and he's worried about something. He said, my kidneys are killing me. I got a doctor's appointment. I'm going to go get it checked out. He said, this has been bothering me for some time now. And you know what? The doctor asked him a few questions. Said, how many sodas do you drink a week? And he told him. He said, quit drinking them sodas. And he did. You know what? His kidney problem went away. I've had more than one friend go through that. And people get addicted to them, think they can't live without them. You don't need that stuff, but you do need water. You need fresh water. Water builds cells. I could give you all kinds of things tonight. Water hydrates your body, cleanses the body, lubricates the body. You need water. You need nutritious food. You need water. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, you need fresh air. Said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know, you can live about 40 days without food. And you can live about four days without water. But you can only live about 4 minutes without air. So common sense tells us the air we breathe is very, very important to us. Can you see in our modern day American society where we've got away from the way just a generation ago that people used to live? We don't have fresh food. We drink stuff that's not good for us all the time, think we have to have it, and a lot of people don't even get any fresh air. You know, a lot of people can leave their house, go somewhere, and spend all day long. And I know you say, preacher, I can't help where I work, and I understand that. But you know, if you go from the house to the garage and you get in a car and you drive somewhere and then you walk just a few steps inside, see, we don't get even fresh air. We get recycled air a lot of times, but you need fresh air. And so it's good to get out and walk outside. When I was a kid, I remember growing up, my mama, she kicked us out of the house. As kids, she'd come through and it's a pretty day, and she'd say, "You youngins, get out of the house." You can't drive youngins out of the house nowadays. No wonder they're sick. No wonder we're sick all the time. We don't get out of the house, don't exercise, don't get fresh air. Mama would run us out of the house. Let me tell you something, cold weather won't make you sick. First time I went to Idaho, I remember that we went to the little town called Ashton, Idaho, and it was about 8 degrees. Snowmobiles going up and down the street legally. That's just the way it was out there in the wintertime. You can drive a snowmobile right down Main Street, and it was 8 degrees outside. I remember they had one of them out like a bank outside. And right across the street was a school and a playground, and that playground full of youngins playing outside on the swing and slides and everything else. That amazed me. I said, "I can't believe they're outside playing." He said, "If they don't get outside and play and it's 8 degrees, then," he said, "they just about 4 months out of the year, then they'll be able to get outside." So cold weather won't make you sick. But staying inside all the time and not getting any fresh air, that'll make you sick. We need fresh air. I need to move on. People stay inside, airtight homes. I read something said that When we were growing up and they didn't insulate houses good, they didn't have to worry about it. They got plenty of fresh air. But you know, our buildings are so tight, we don't get the fresh air that we need. Makes a lot of people sick. And that's why it's sickness in school, sickness in hospital. Somebody gets sick at work, everybody will get sick. We don't have the fresh air that we need. It's recycled air a lot of the times. We need food, we need water, we need air, we need exercise. God put Adam and Eve in a garden. Sin chapter 2 and verse 15, God just didn't put them there to sit around, do nothing. It said in Genesis 2 and 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." And he said over in chapter 3 and verse number 19, I believe it is, this is after they had sinned, but God told Adam over there about the introduction in verse number 18, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field." His diet didn't change. But something else did. He said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." There's a bad word there in verse number 19. See that little word, sweat? A lot of people don't do that anymore. But I'm telling you, sweating's good for you. You need to exercise. You need to sweat every once in a while. You need to do something that'll cause you to sweat. Our forefathers didn't have that problem. They had to sweat to live. But you and I don't have to sweat to live a lot of times. Our lives are made so easy by modern day convenience that now, in order to sweat, a lot of people have to join a gym or buy a treadmill or something like that. But I'm telling you, sweating's good for you. Sweating gets poison out of your body when you sweat. That's why we stink. Do you know that? That's why you have to buy deodorant and stuff, because you have poison in your body. And when you sweat, it stinks. That's humbling, isn't it? That's the truth. That's why we have problems along them lines, because sweat is getting the poison out of our body. And you need to get the poison. If you don't get the poison out of your body, you know what it does? It poisons you and makes you sick. And I'm not just talking about a cold. I'm talking about cancers and all kinds of problems that we have. We have digestive problems and all kinds of problems because we don't exercise. It's not good to sit around all the time. It's not good to sit around at home, sit around at work, children sit around at school, spend all their time on TV, computers, things like that. It would kill most people to have to work one day real hard. Even young people that look healthy and look like it wouldn't bother them, it can't handle it. Can't keep up with grandpa and the way they used to live and work. They exercise. Sweating is good for you. You need fresh air. You need exercise. Here's something else you need. You need sunshine. Do you know sunshine? You get vitamin D from the sunshine. Bible said in Ecclesiastes 11:7, truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Do you know that's how our bodies get vitamin D, is through the sun. I've read some health teachers that say no matter the time of the year, they will get out and get some sunshine. Do you know when I lived in Idaho, there's an article in the paper and Idaho and Utah is two of the most medicated for depression states in the United States of America. And they said that one of the reasons why there is so much depression in that area of the country is because of the short days in the wintertime, and people, they call it SAD, which I wrote it down. I can't remember what that says though. Seasonal affective disorder. Sit inside all the time, don't have any sunlight. And they say, you know, to do that, have bright fluorescent lights and things like that. But fact is tonight, you need some exposure to the sun. I'm not talking about looking like a baked potato. But I'm talking about some sunshine is good for you. You know how it is. You say, well, I got out in sunshine and went on a little walk and I felt a whole lot better. That's good for you. You need sunshine. Studies along these lines say that a little bit of sunshine, exposure to the sun, lowers your blood pressure, reduces a rising heart rate, balances hormone production, lowers blood sugar, makes you more able to cope with stress in your life. Just a little bit of exercise, fresh air, and sunshine is good for you. Number 6 tonight, I must move on. You need rest. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 2. I mentioned this morning. But it said, and on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. God rested on the seventh day, not because He was tired, but to give an example to us that you do need rest. You need to have proper rest in your life. God rested on the seventh day and He instituted the Sabbath day and He put a law upon the children of Israel that they had to rest on that day. God made it a law. Because God knows a lot of people will run themselves into an early grave if they're not made to rest. And a lot of people are like that. They go and go and go. They go 7 days a week. They can't sit down for 5 minutes. If they do, it's with something in front of them to occupy their mind and to-do list and all of these things. And I have a problem. I can't sit still. I like to be going and doing all day long. I'm doing something. I usually do 4 or 5 things at one time. I'll have books open. I'll have something in the basement that I'm working on and I sort of rotate around. That's just my mind. I have ADD. I cannot stay focused on one thing for very long, but I can take 5 things and throughout the day I'll get them all done. But I'm always going and doing something. And it's hard for me to just sit down and cut off except for one day a week. I can sit down on Sunday and I can take a nap. And I believe that's God's. It is not a sin to rest. It's a sin to be lazy. If I took a nap every day of the week, I might say, that fella's lazy. But I can one day a week. I believe that's the will of God. God gave the Sabbath. God instituted a day, he means for us to rest. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. People had studied it, says you need 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Lester Roloff used to say, every hour before midnight is worth 4 hours after midnight. We've all heard that saying, early to bed, early to rise, makes one healthy and wealthy and wise. Wonder where that come from. That's a good proverb. It's not in the Bible, but it's a good principle in our lives. Go to bed. Get some sleep. Don't lay in the bed all day. The Bible is against that if you read in the book of Proverbs. That's being slothful. The slothful turneth upon his bed like a door upon his hinges. That's a sin. But it's not a sin to rest. And you can have a proper balance in your life if you'll get into bed and then get out of the bed in the morning. I believe that's the will of God for our lives. Get rest when it's time to rest. You need rest in your life. I need to move on. Last of all tonight, and this is a really important one, you need a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And there's a lot involved in that sound mind. I'll tell you what will help our health, a clear conscience. A clear conscience, a positive attitude, a strong faith in the Word of God. I really, really believe with all of my heart that a lot of people are sick, and their sickness has originated either in here, in their mind, because something's troubling them, bothering them, and they can't get rid of it, or there's something in here, in their heart, that's making them sick. Do you know, if you have a sin in your life that you never deal with, do you know what that brings about in your life? That brings about, if you're a child of God, you have any God consciousness whatsoever, and you harbor that sin in your life, do you know what that causes in your life? It causes guilt in your life. It causes fear in your life. It causes dread in your life. It'll make you sick. We could go down a long list tonight. You know what'll make you sick? Anger, bitterness, envy. Think with me tonight. Hatred, problems in your life with other people, anxiety in your life, worry in your life. A lot of people, they worry themselves to death over stuff. And they go to the doctor, and the doctor gives them pills. And I've talked to nurses. I know people, and I've been told before, you would be amazed how much that the doctor gives out medicine for people that really don't have anything wrong with them. They just go and they say, well, you know, what's wrong? Well, I can't sleep good. You can't take a physical pill that'll make a spiritual problem better. It just make it worse. Because then you can't think straight to deal with things. Anxiety. People are stressed out to death. Worried about stuff out here. Have pressure on them. They have grief in their lives they can't get over. Maybe there's hatred or jealousy or something like this. Proverbs 17:22, the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But if I've got spiritual problems in my life and I can't laugh, it's going to make me sick. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know as well as I do, we've all been there. If we've got something in our lives that's weighing us down, bothering us, worrying us, it'll make you sick. It'll make you sick. So the Bible said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's 7 things your body needs in order to be healthy. In Romans 12 and 1, going back there and ending up tonight, the Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. I have a responsibility before God. I am the only steward over this body that there is. If I don't take care of my body, it's a sin not to take care of our body. Preachers can get up and you can preach on whatever you want to. This is sin, this is sin. But how many times do we ever hear that it's a sin not to take care of our body? But it's not. I mean, it is a sin not to take care of our body. It's not something that, and I'll tell you this, I went somewhere one time and I've told it before, but I had a beard. And God had never convicted me over having a beard or facial hair. I'd never heard nobody preach on that or anything. But I'll tell you, we were in the anti-beard church. But I just didn't notice that on the sign when I went in. And the preacher got up and he started, and I had a mustache. And he started throwing off on that, you know, and that lion wouldn't have been slain by David if it hadn't had a beard, and just all this bunch of foolishness and no scriptural backing for it whatsoever. And I'll tell you, I couldn't help but notice that when we went to eat, that preacher was so big he couldn't even hardly make it down. And I thought, buddy, there's your sin. Right there's your sin. You think Adam had Gillette in the Garden of Eden? I'm not preaching on that tonight. He got up every morning and dipped in the river in Eden and shaved his face, you know. But there's things in Christians' lives that I'm responsible. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. If I'm sick all the time, I can't serve God and be what I ought to be. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16, I'll read this and I'll be done. And I read it this morning, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. My body belongs to God. And I'm to take care of it. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So we need to take care of our bodies. So I'm done tonight. I appreciate your good attention.